Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
You've got that inkling to know, and we've got all the facts and figures of all the football history headlines for October 9th coming at you. We're going to talk about a game without penalties, one of only four times in NFL history, and we're also going to talk about some great legends of the game, like Walter Steffen and Mike Singletary, coming up in just a few minutes. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends, and how are we doing today? This is Darren Hayes from PigskinDispatch.com, and we're going to go through football's history headlines for October 9th today, and we'll start off in the year 1886 on October 9th in New York City at a rules convention. It was held, and it was voted to have a championship game on Thanksgiving Day, the first game ever scheduled on a holiday to our knowledge, and the use of only one type of ball for the rest of the season, the Lily White Number J. Then we go some 50 years later, in 1938 on October 8th, the Cleveland Rams and the Chicago Bears played in one of only four NFL games that did not have a penalty called in it. The game at Cleveland Stadium, according to Pro Football Hall of Fame.com, had the Rams upset the previously unbeaten Bears 14-7 as the winning touchdown came on a fumble recovery by the Rams' Carl Littlefield, returned 23 yards for the score. The referee in that game was Ed Cochran. Some 72 years after that, on October 9th, 2010, the unranked University of South Carolina knocks off number one ranked Alabama University by the score of 35-21. What a shocker there. Now, as we always like to do, we're going to celebrate and remember the Hall of Famers of both the College Football Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame on their birthdays for this October 9th. And we'll start in 1886 on this part of the deal, too, with Walter Steffen, a halfback slash quarterback from the University of Chicago. The footballfoundation.org website bio on Walter tells us that he was one of the favorite players of head coach Amos Alonzo Stagg while with the University of Chicago Maroons. Stagg loved the shiftiness of the youngster so much that after his sophomore season, Steffen was moved into the quarterback position. Walter Steffen was an All-American in each of his three seasons with the Maroons and accounting for a whopping 156 points by himself during that period that he played from 1906 through 1908. After his eligibility was exhausted, Walter joined Stagg's coaching staff for a period and went to graduate school, eventually getting his law degree and soon after being named judge in the Chicago court system. He couldn't get the gridiron out of his blood, though, as he soon took over the head coaching duties at Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh in 1914 and held that position off and on through the 1932 season. His final coaching record stood at a respectable 88 wins, 53 losses, and 6 ties, especially when you consider the competition his teams faced with the likes of Notre Dame, USC, Yale, Army, Pittsburgh, and Georgia Tech. The College Football Hall of Fame inducted Walter Steffen into their museum in the year 1969. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
We continue our Legends of the Game and Hall of Famers birthday celebrations on October 9th, 1930, as Hank Lurasella was a halfback from the University of Tennessee during the seasons of 1949 through 1951. The footballfoundation.org website states that Lurasella was named Mr. Everything, as a two-way player was the key man in the Vols' single-wing offense, using his legs and arms to move the ball, as well as being the starting safety on defense and the main return man for both punts and kicks. In 1950, the Volunteers sported a record of 10 wins and 1 loss and were crowned the national champions by the Dunkel Index. Lurasella was pivotal in the team's scoring as he rushed for 573 yards that season with a 4.7 yard average while carrying the ball over the goal line 4 times and tossed it for 5 more scores. The team was invited into the Cotton Bowl in 1951 to cap off the brilliant season as they faced the Texas Longhorns. Hank started the offense early in the game with a very memorable run that started on the Vols' 20-yard line, had him weave through the Texas defense in reverse direction 3 times before him being taken down at the Longhorn 5-yard line. The 75-yard scamper set up the first score of the day and led to a Tennessee 20-14 victory. In the game, Lurasella had 131 yards on the ground and was inducted into the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame. How do you follow up a junior season such as that? Well, in 1951, Hank Lurasella won the Heisman Trophy, averaging over 7 yards per carry for the entire season, and the Associated Press this time voted the team as the national champions at Tennessee. The National Football Foundation voted Hank Lurasella into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1981. Our next legend was born on October 9th, 1958, and that's Mike Singletary, a linebacker that played for Baylor University from 1977 through 1980 season. The National Football Foundation's website points out that Mike was a 4-year letterman and set a school record for tackles in a season with 232 as a sophomore and career tackles of 662. In 1978, in a game against Arkansas, he registered an astounding 35 tackles in one game. Needless to say, Baylor named an award for the standout, aptly called the Mike Singletary Award, for the senior that brings an honor to the school by contributing to Baylor football's program. The website Britannica.com records that the Chicago Bears drafted Mike Singletary in the second round of the 1981 NFL Draft. Despite not starting until the 8th game of his first season, he received an all-rookie team accolades. He went on to have a brilliant 12-year career with the Bears and was one of the top 2 tacklers on the team in his last 10 years played, as well as making it to the Pro Bowl in each of those 10 seasons as well. He was an NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 1985 and again in 1988. The 1985 season was the one that the Bears were arguably the best defense ever in the NFL, as they allowed a mere 12.4 points per regular season game on their way to the Super Bowl victory and outscored their playoff opponents 91-10, and Mike Singletary was the anchor of that great defense. The College Football Hall of Fame inducted Mike into their group in 1995. The Pro Football Hall of Fame followed that up with an invite to Mike Singletary of their own in 1998, his first year of eligibility. After playing, Mike went into coaching, even being an NFL head coach for the San Francisco 49ers for a few seasons. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away 2 copies of my latest book called Bears versus Cardinals, the NFL's oldest rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sturman collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you will enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you and good luck.